Relationships rule. That's my motto. I'm Janice Porter, and I love to share the power of relationship marketing to help grow and impact business. I've grown my business by building and nurturing relationships, and I'd like to help you do the same. Welcome to the Relationships Rule podcast, where connection means everything. Hello, everyone. I'm very excited today that we're going to be talking about something that's become more important than ever in business communication, authentic storytelling. With trust at an all-time low, and with AI now able to generate content in seconds, many leaders and entrepreneurs are asking an important question. How do we stay efficient with these powerful tools without losing our authentic voice? Well, my guest today is a global expert in business storytelling and the author of her eighth book, her newest book, which is called Story Intelligence, The Craft of Authentic Storytelling Made Smarter with AI. And it's getting rave reviews in her home country of Australia. And I'm sure that's going to gather steam to North America as well. Gabrielle Dolan teaches leaders how to communicate with clarity, connect emotionally, and build trust through real stories. In this conversation, we're going to look at why authentic stories matter more than ever in the age of AI and how each of us can use storytelling to strengthen our relationships in business. So first of all, welcome, welcome, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm very excited to be talking to you about all things storytelling.
Well, I have to tell you, your email that you sent to me introducing yourself, you had me at what was the subject line? How to be less shit at storytelling. I loved it. It was like, okay, I got to read more. So she was, I could tell she had a sense of humor. I could tell that you had a sense of humor and that you in the rest of the email that you were passionate about what you do. So I was really glad to be able to connect with you. So Gabrielle, you've spent many years helping leaders use storytelling in business. What first made you realize how powerful stories could be in professional communication? Let's start back there.
Yeah, so that sort of almost takes me back about 25 years ago. So I was working in corporate Australia. I was working at one of Australia's largest banks, and I was in senior management roles. So I led a team, but also in the last couple of years, I was in change management roles. So leading, digital transformation. Not that we called it digital transformation back then. I think we just called it technical change.
Sure. But it was minimal. And it was minimal compared to today.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. And it took so long, so much longer. It was in that capacity of change management. So, you think of the job, you're about to implement all these changes, you go out to the business unit and you've got to explain why the change is good. And of course, every business unit doesn't want the change to come because it's such a disruption. What I started to notice is when I shared a story that addressed some of their concerns, they seem to get the message better. And it's, they seem to sort of, their defenses went down a bit. Now, it wasn't a silver magical bullet, right, but I remember thinking, I'm thinking this storytelling business. And then I also started to notice, like I would see people speak and the really, really great presenters, what they were doing was sharing stories. And then I started to notice that some of the great leaders that I saw, they were sharing stories. So because I had a lot of experience in designing and actually delivering leadership programs, I had done that previously, I remember thinking, I think storytelling's a skill. I think it's an absolute leadership skill. It's a communication skill. It's an influencing skill. I think I'm going to teach people how to do it now.
It was a bit of a
sliding doors couple of years aha moment. It was sort of like, yeah, I think this works. And then I noticed stories, I think it worked. But the real aha moment, like the moment I decided, was I had been applying for roles at the bank. They were going through, one of their many restructures. And I applied for the global head of learning, and I didn't get the job. And it was in that moment, and I still remember the person that told me I didn't get the job. I had worked with her and she said, what do you think you're going to do? And I went, I think it's time to go. And I sort of, not in that moment, I came up with a big business plan, but I
Right.
thought I'm going to give, I truly believe storytelling is a skill. It's like I said,
It
communication
is. I
leadership
agree.
skill. And I think I could teach people how to do it. Now, at the time, our children were 2 and 5, and part of me thought, I'm just going to give this a go. I'm going to see if this is a valid, job to teach people storytelling. And if it's not, and if it doesn't take off, I'll be home with the kids for a while, and I'll just come back and get another job when the
Figure
time's
it out.
right. So I'll figure it out. And it'd be fair to say, 21 years later, with storytelling, everyone's talking about storytelling. The Wall Street Journal wrote a article a few months ago that the term storyteller is the fastest growing job title, which both part of me says, "See, I told you."
That's
Part
brilliant,
of
though.
me is, "I told you," but then part of me thinks, "Oh, please don't outsource storytelling across your organization to one department." That concerns me about that concept. But yeah, it'd be fair to say it worked out.
Yes, it did. So your new book introduces this concept of story intelligence. How do you define that term, and why do you believe it's such an important skill today?
Yeah, so I am this is the eighth book I've written on like storytelling and real communication. And my previous book that I wrote about 4 years ago, I truly believe, Janice, that that would be the last book I would write on storytelling. I was like, there's only so much stuff you can write on storytelling. But it was probably about 18 months ago, I would be running, storytelling workshops, which I do, and I would increasingly get people ask me, will AI replace storytelling? And the fact that people were even asking that question horrified me. It was like, no. And then I would be going, not only will it not replace it, but our authentic stories are needed now more than ever. And then I had people ask me, can you use AI to help with your stories? And my initial response was, no,
No, you're a
absolutely
purist.
not. No, it's not, that's not happening on my watch type thing. And then I thought, well, if you're the sort of so-called expert on this, you better like at least experiment with it. And I was disturbingly surprised how good AI was with stories, but it was missing something, and I go into that in the book. But the premise of the book then, so therefore the premise of the book is, in a world of AI generated content, there's so much AI generated content, and we're also in a world of distrust as well, that our authentic stories are needed now more than ever. But AI used wisely being the key word here, used wisely, AI can be your creative partner when it comes to storytelling. But again, it's used wisely, and we might go into that a
Yeah,
bit
we
later.
will. We will go into that. The thing I just on a high level here, the thing that I notice is, especially on social media, because they're destroying the stuff that they put out there, especially I see on Facebook and sometimes on Instagram. You have to be very discerning and really start to say, is this real or is it not real? Because some of them are really good, but then some of them are much more, you've got this voice that is very robotic and you know that's not a real voice. But I think you really have to be careful, and that's the part that's driving everyone crazy too, is like, was it really real,
And so it's so the latest, I don't know if you follow the Edelman report. They do a report on trust every year. They've been doing it for 20 years, and this last year was their 20th year, and the trust is at its lowest. So they do trust in, across organizations, across media, and even employees, right? So trust is at its all-time lowest. But so you've got that, and then you've got the combination of AI generated content. Now, whether it be deep fake videos or just content like
Content.
someone's story, but we're now constantly saying, is that true? Like,
No, I know.
I find myself even watching video. I saw a video the other day of an elephant rescuing a tiger by the tiger jumping up on his back, and part of me is going, is that AI? Like, and I could not And so for the
Yeah.
life of me now, I don't know whether that was true or not. And then you read the
Yeah.
comments, and half the comments are go, "Oh my God, that's so lovely."
Yes,
And
and the
others
other
going,
half.
"AI, AI,
Yeah.
AI." And you go, "I don't know." So we are now dealing with everything we consume. We
Yeah.
have got this cynical lens over it, rightly so, and maybe
Yeah.
not cynical, but maybe just judging,
Yeah.
is this true or not?
Well, I think we
Now,
have
what we
to
have to.
yeah.
Like we have to, and I was talking to someone the other day, like in our generation, like our parents, you
Yes.
know, they got their news from like the probably the one newspaper they read
Or
and the
the
one news channel they
yeah.
watched it at 6 o'clock at night, and that was
That's
it.
it.
And that was gospel to them. I was
And
like,
when
you
they
know,
went to the movies.
exactly. They'd have a little bit of news. But that was, you
That
know,
was
and
it.
sometimes they would go, but it was in the Herald. So it's true, or I saw it on the news, so it is true. Now, of course, we can't have that certainty on anything. So
No.
we are just we do. There is a judgment over everything. So to me, and people go, when I'm speaking to individuals, I go, you can't control what other people do. If people are putting out fake stuff out there, you can't control that, but you can certainly control what you put out. And yeah, and the one thing I do is I teach. You know, teach people storytelling, obviously, but I always say it's so much more powerful. It's easier to find your own stories than to make up stories, and it's so much more powerful. So yeah, we could definitely use AI. I'm not saying don't use AI. I use AI, but we've got to do it wisely.
I know myself included when I do play around with it, and I am going to ask you about the different where is it? Just a minute. The different
Oh,
types of
and you asked me about my definition of storytelling chits. So, like, what actually is it? Sorry, I
story
forgot to say that. So,
intelligence. Okay.
I love the title of the book, Story Intelligence. It sort of reminds me of emotional intelligence, but there's no definition of what story intelligence means. So, you know, so the definition I wrote, it's a bit. I've had people say to me, it's too long. It's like, whatever, I don't care. You
Go
when you
for
make up your you when you make up your own definition, you make it shorter. But like, you know, this is mine, and it's the ability to purposefully and skillfully use authentic storytelling to communicate with clarity and to connect, engage, and inspire. And I think the main, so yeah, if you want to put it in a nutshell, it's how you use it really skillfully and with purpose. So you're communicating much more, you know, in a much more effective way that's not only clear, helps people understand the message, but actually engages them and, you know, connects with them.
And it is an, you say it's a skill. I think it's an art too. I really do. I think it's an art to do it properly.
There's, you know, I often talk about the art and science of storytelling, and part of the art is sort of playing around with it a bit. It's sort of like it's like sometimes when you tell a joke, like a, you know, you use comedians, you can tell a joke and you've thought, I've told it exactly the same way, but why didn't people laugh this time? And because that's the art bit. It's one or two words. It can be in the delivery, all that type
Well,
of stuff.
let's talk about this then, because I think it's interesting. And I read this part in your book that I thought was fascinating. You did some research where you compared stories written by humans and stories generated by AI. And I want to know a little bit about that. And I want my audience to know a bit about that and what you discovered about how people responded to them. Because I think you had three stories, one you'd written and two were AI generated. Is that right?
So when I first started to experiment with you know, after people have kept asking me, can you use AI to help with your stories, I started to experiment, and I would get onto ChatGPT or Claude and go, I want a story in the first person around innovation. Can you write one? And it would write it. And this is when I was like, oh my God, that's good. It's like, oh, it terrified me that it was good, but it was missing something. And of course, what it was missing was authenticity. You know, when you sort of go, that just doesn't seem right. So that's what it was missing. And it doesn't seem real because it's not
So
real, right?
stop there for a second. So was it missing a point of view that a human would give, or were the facts not there?
It was a bit of both. So no,
Oh,
it's
okay.
probably nothing to do with the facts. Sometimes it was a bit of, that doesn't make sense. So like it
Okay. So
wasn't
you
right.
okay.
But then sometimes it was just, you sort of go, I don't think that would happen like that. So there was a big questioning of how it happened. And then, there was, it was missing, it was feeling. There wasn't like real much feeling in there. So I decided as part of writing the book to put my hypothesis to the test. And my hypothesis was stories are okay. AI generated stories are okay, but they're not as good as your own story. So what I did for the book, I chose six different topics. So, courage, innovation, whatever. And I wrote six stories on each of them. And I got ChatGPT to write six and Claude to write six. And I used a prompt that would make sure it
Was
was
more
personal
specific.
and yeah, it with, around about 300 words. So I gave them some guidance. Then I got people to read that. So there was 18 stories in total. I got people to read these stories and rate them. And I got them to rate on different things, like engage, how memorable, how clear the story was. Did it feel real? So I got them to rate it. They had no idea.
Blind test, right? Blind
It was a
test.
blind test. Not only did they have no idea which stories were real and which were AI generated, they assumed they were all real. There was no mention that these were AI generated.
Oh, okay. You just had
And
those
so, yeah,
inputs.
it just went out. And what it came back is that, well, first of all, four out of the six stories, my stories were rated much higher than the AI ones. In one instance, they were rated equal, which was like, oh, that's.
Okay.
And then in one instance, AI story was rated better than mine. And when I did look at my story, I went, I did sort of think, oh, it's probably not my finest work. But the really interesting thing, which sort of proved my hypothesis, in my rating, the rating around clarity and the rating around authenticity were very much aligned. They were pretty much equal. For all the AI generated stories, the rating on clarity was high. But on authenticity, it was really low. So there was a really big gap between does this story make sense? It's like people going, yeah, it sort of makes sense. Does it feel real? No. So that and that was my hypothesis, that they're okay stories, that they sort of could be used to get the message across, but there's something missing. And what's missing is authenticity.
So, we were talking about I forgot what my premise was about, but when you say that so the un the not uneducated, but the person that's not really into this, into the differences or the, is it real or isn't it real, they would accept it more readily than someone who's starting to be discerning.
And so they would accept it. And so even I spoke to a few of the people that provided feedback. And again, when I told them they were AI, and some of the feedback, or a lot of the feedback got was these stories, and these were the AI ones, they just sounded cliche. They just sounded so cliche. And so it was sort of, yeah, I get the message, but cliche. I've heard it all before. There was nothing specific. So that's again the danger is it's just and this is the danger if you use AI to generate your stories. You're sounding cliche, which means you're sounding boring. That's just
Okay, so let me just ask you this from the AI perspective. When you cho you did them in those three different tools or platforms, did you were you more engrossed in one platform than the other, or did you ha did it did each of those platforms have your avatar or your background or your all that stuff, or no?
No, they didn't. They didn't. So
Okay.
I went like almost blank canvas. So
Blind.
I use ChatGPT and I use Claude as the
Yeah.
two AI platforms. So it wasn't. I wasn't. And when I mean, I've got a paid version of ChatGPT that I
Yeah.
use, but I use the free version with a clean slate. So it wasn't using anything from me.
Okay. So would that have
But
made a difference, do you think?
So it would definitely. So you can say, okay, well, if you've got a paid one, it can start to learn about you. It can start to, and that will definitely make a difference. So in the book, I talk about, how you can use AI. You can use AI to help find your stories. So, I need to find a story around innovation. Can you ask me questions that will draw out experiences that I've had in innovation, right? So you get that.
But sometimes if I ask it to help me write something, it will say, I'll write this in your voice, Janice, with, emphasis on relationship building or whatever. Like, and so it
Yes.
knows me well enough to do that. So I sort
Yeah.
of, maybe I take too much credit or give it too much credit that it does, but then I have to start being more discerning myself. I've used that word a lot, but that seems to be the word that,
No, it's true. So the more, if you're using a paid version and it gets to know you, it will create the story that's going to sound more and more like you, right? Absolutely. And as it gets better and better and better, that will definitely be the case. It still though puts in stuff that's not you. And so my thing is, once you get that AI stuff, first of all, it still makes up stuff. So you read the story, and then it might have said this happened, and when that's when you've got to go, and it is discerning. That's absolutely great description. You've got to go, well, that didn't happen that way, but this happened. It happened this way. Okay, we'll say it that way. And then also, I recommend you say it out loud, because if there's words in there, to give you an example, this just happened a few weeks ago. And I think I was using my paid version. I think I was applying to go on a podcast, and I had to fill out this form, and it said, just give me two paragraphs on what you do. So I said, I teach people how to communicate more effectively through authentic stories. And I did some other stuff. And I often put it through ChatGPT, mainly as an edit, I'm terrible at grammar and stuff like that. So it's just, so ma mainly as a bit of an edit, but, it came back and it said something like, I teach people to communicate authentically through stories that bridge the gap between impact and trust. It was like, I don't even know what that means. But the danger, and this is the real danger, is people go, oh, that sounds good. Like, ah, that sounds really good. And then all of a sudden they're going, yeah, I use stories to bridge the gap between impact and trust. And, then all of a sudden it's their tagline. It was like, it doesn't even, it, did, has, have those words ever come out of your mouth like that? And the answer is no. So you just got to go, don't
You have to
use them.
push
So,
back. Yeah, you have to push
yeah.
back
So
for sure.
using AI in that way can help you be really efficient when it comes to creating stories and creating content, whether it's stories or not. But you don't want to, you still want it to be effective. And I say, don't lose effectiveness over efficiency. And if we're just taking what AI gives us, it's starting to sound like everyone else.
It's
And
true. And even the
what?
even the patterning of the content and that too.
It's
But
always,
yeah, and I like what you said though about reading it out loud, because when I read it out loud, I start to say it in my vernacular, which sometimes isn't. And that's when I say, no, I wouldn't say it that way. So I'll change it or something. I know it's fascinating. Some people say, and I've said this, I'm not a storyteller. I have trouble finding stories. What do you say to professionals who believe they simply don't have stories to share?
Yeah, so first of all, as human beings, we are storytellers. That's the one
The
thing that
given.
separates from this given, right? We're storytellers. Now, I do acknowledge you might not be a really good storyteller. So
Fair
again,
enough.
going back to what we talked about, it's a skill, okay? It's a skill, and we can get better. But that common question is, I don't have any stories. And it was like, first of all, we all have stories. What they're thinking in their head is, I don't have any big, amazing stories. Like, I'm just normal. Like, nothing really bad has happened to me. Nothing amazing. I haven't climbed
Or
Mount
I can't
Everest.
think of it right now,
I can't think of it right now, right? So, but I actually walk people through a pro. I would not. I teach them the process of, first of all, being really clear on your message. So sometimes people would go, I need to communicate a message around innovation. I keep coming back to innovation, and they go, I just don't have any stories about innovation. I go, okay, just forget about the story, and I go, what does innovation mean to you personally? Like, personally, what does it mean to you? And then they'll go. And then they have to really think about it, and they'll say things like, "Well, it means just trying something different." I was like, "Okay, great. What else does?" And I keep pushing them. What else does it mean? And it could mean, well, it's just, it actually what it means to me is, challenging the status quo, like li literally asking, why are we doing that? And just because we've always done it isn't a reason. Okay.
Right.
So now that instead of this big innovation message, they're going, well, what it means to me is just trying something different, or challenging the status quo. It means both of those things. And then I say, okay, so can you think of a time when you've challenged the status quo? When you've sort of said, why are you doing this? And can it be when someone said it to you, or when you've said it to someone else, or when you haven't said it to someone else, when you actually just went along with it because this is the way we do it, and you didn't have the courage to challenge the status quo. And so then they will go, well, yes. But then they go, but it was just, I remember doing that, like when I was 15 and all my mates were doing something and I knew we probably shouldn't do it and I knew there was a better way, but I just thought, oh, what the hell, everyone else is doing it, so I just did it. And then there's this story around that. And then they go, but that I couldn't share that. I couldn't share that story to my team. It was like, that will be the most powerful story you can share with your team. So it's helping them. To me, a lot of the work is, I mean, yes, I teach them how to do it, like the capability. I feel a lot of my work is giving them the permission to say that, taking them from, I couldn't possibly share a story like that at work. And it was like, you absolutely should stories like that at work, because A, they're going to be the most engaging. They're going to be the most memorable. They really humanize you as a leader. So especially senior leaders, it makes you real and human, which you've been talking about. They're your most powerful stories, but yet they're the most underutilized.
Yeah, that's brilliant, actually. That's really different. So I know that you talk, I think you talked in your book about it might be part of what you were just saying that you teach somehow, but you talk about the different places. I don't have the book in front of me, but
Right, okay.
yeah, the like some stories are for leadership, some stories are for, do you know what I'm talking about?
So in the book, so I do, I talk about the four different types of stories you should share, and
That's it.
they are personal, professional, public, and parable. And I do love the fact that they
That's
all start with
okay.
P. That was
Yes, say
very
it again.
deliberate.
Personal,
Yeah,
public.
so personal, professional, public, and parable. And
Right, that's it.
if I sort of quickly explain them
Yeah,
in
that's.
reverse order. So a parable is like a, Aesop's fables,
Yeah.
the boy who cried wolf type thing. That's a parable. Teachers use parables a lot. I would imagine that parents use parables a lot, right? So, and parables, I mean, if you want to see how effective storytelling look is, parables have
Well,
lasted thousands and thousands of years.
one of the biggest books I ever read, most effective book I ever read, was The Go-Giver by Bob Berg. And it's a best-selling book, came out in like 2008, and it was about relationships and about giving and whatever. And the first part of, and it's told in a parable. So, yeah, and it's beautiful the way it teaches the lessons in each chapter as a parable.
And I talk in there's an example I give in the book. So there's examples I give of all of these in the book, but one is a lecturer when I did my MBA. I did an MBA in management and leadership like 30 years ago, and the only thing I can remember for that is a parable they shared about competitive advantage. So, and then there's the public story. So these are like a lot of the public. They're in the public domain. Like if you want a story on teamwork, you just Google, can you give me examples of teamwork, and you'll find them. So they can a lot of famous case studies, like a public stories. Those stories are good, but sharing those stories, they can help you get the message across, but I actually don't get to find, I don't get to know you any better. So your professional stories and personal stories, these are your stories. They've happened to you, or you've experienced them like firsthand. Now, the professional stories are all your work-related stories. These are the vast majority of stories we share. So, for example, you could imagine in a job interview, right? You're sharing lots of, tell me about a time when you did this. So there are a lot of professional stories. The personal stories is, it didn't happen at work, but what I teach people is, how do you take that story that didn't happen at work, but you connect it to your work message? And the science, we talk about the art and science of storytelling. Science shows that when you a story like that, a personal story, it's you not only connect to the message, which is the whole reason we're sharing stories, but you connect to the storyteller. So I get to know you a little bit better, which the end result of that is it either fast tracks a relationship or strengthens an already existing relationship. So when you think about in business, you're in a sales situation, you're trying to pitch for work, and if you can share a story around a value that fast tracks that relationship, so they walk out going, not sure what it was, but I just really feel we could work with them better. You know what it was? It was the story you
It was
shared.
the
That's
story, yeah.
yeah.
And you know what's funny? While you're talking about that, I thought of a story. And that's
Yeah.
when it happens to me. It doesn't happen when I'm trying to write a presentation and I have to think of a story. It happens when I'm having a conversation.
Yeah. And so again, the power and the science behind the story is I can share a story with you and you will think of a similar story. It doesn't have to be the same, but it could just be
Right.
slightly similar, which means you're sort of connecting now me and my story through your story. You don't
Right.
even have to, you don't have to tell me your story, but it sparked something. So,
And it builds rapport more easily and
it builds, yeah. So you, and
yeah.
you think it can build rapport, trust really
Yeah.
quickly. So fast track a relationship or strengthen an already existing relationship. So can you imagine in a leadership role, or every time you share a personal story with your team, you're not only getting the message across, which again is why we're doing it, but you're strengthening the relationship with your team.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, this is brilliant. So, a couple more questions. If from your experience working with organizations around the world, can you share an example of how storytelling improved communication or relationships inside a specific company? Did you
Yeah, look,
see
I
it?
can. I look, you know what? I think one of the some of the most powerful ones was it just really helped individuals. And I think if every individual can do it, it's helping them be a better leader and communicator. And one example that I absolutely love, love, love is I worked with a company. It was about 12 years ago, and they were rolling out values, or communicating their values. And a lot of the work I go in is help you share personal stories to communicate the company values. And one of their company values was doing the right thing. So I take people through the process that I just said, well, what does that mean to you? What does it mean to you? And this one woman that I was working with, her name was Anne, and we went through the process of what that means to you. And she came up with a few things. But she sort of said, what it really means to me when I see that value is doing the right thing all the time. I think we're really good at doing the right thing when it suits us. It's just when it doesn't suit us. That's when that value's challenged. And I go, okay, so then I take it through a process. Well, where have you experienced this before? Where have you seen it? And of course I teach people like the framework of story, how to start your story, how to end it, all that type of stuff. So this is the story she shared. So I'll just share the story and then get your reaction. She said, in the early 60s, my dad was a professional swimmer, and when he reached the point in his career that he was good enough, he actually tried out for the national swim team. And on the day of the meet, he was doing his race, and he got to the end to do the tumble turn, and he misjudged and he missed the wall. Now, this was in the early 60s, so there was no sensors. They had judges, but with all that splashing and kicking, he knew they wouldn't know if he touched the wall or not. So he had to make a split second decision. Does he go back and touch the wall or does he keep going? Now, he went back and touched the wall. Now, you don't really recover from a race when you do that. And there was a whole lot of other reasons, but Dad never made the national swim team. And growing up as a kid, I would often hear Dad share that story with people. And people would ask him, have you ever regretted going back and touching the wall? And he'd always say, I've never regretted that. Because if I didn't go back and touch the wall, I would have to spend the rest of my life knowing I did the wrong thing. And I'm sharing this with you because it reminds me of our value doing the right thing. It is only a matter of time before we come across our own go back and touch the wall moment. And I invite you to consider what my dad would do.
That was huge.
What does that story tell you about Anne as a leader? What are you now feeling about her as a leader, for example?
Well, the first thing that came to my mind was that he was a man of integrity.
Mm-hmm.
And in saying that, he's taught her to be to be a woman of integrity, and that's what it says to me.
So through that story, and first of all, when she tells it, what you see in her is absolute pride. Like she is so
I
proud
can
of her
tell.
dad.
Sure.
And so what it is exactly, this isn't a company line she's towing, a
No.
company value she's towing the line for. She was raised this way.
That's
This
right.
is in
It's
her.
in her.
And so I talk about stories giving you credibility. You know through that story that she truly believes in doing the right thing. And, and she truly believes that. So first of all, she's going to live and breathe that. And of course, the subtle message is she expects me to do it. And if
Yeah,
I
and
do
think
do
about
it,
it before you make that decision, and you'll remember that story.
And so she has said, like, this was 12 years ago. To this day, she still shares that story. She sees it as part of her own leadership induction program. So anyone that comes and works for her hears that story. She has said to me, she goes, the amount of heavy lifting I can do in that 90 seconds, it just communicates who I am as a leader. And she has said she's had situations where her team are deciding what to do. And she went, it sort of starts, sometimes goes down the path of, well, technically we don't have to do that. Like legally, we're not obliged to do that. And she said, someone will say, this is our go back and touch the wall moment. What's the right thing to do? And everyone sits there and goes, well, it's clearly the right thing to do. And I was like, right, well, let's do it then. So that, can you see, that's values in action. And you know what most people say? Oh, doing the right thing is really important to me. It's like that saying, doing the right thing even if no one's noticing, and it's all about, doing the right thing even when it doesn't suit us. It's like, whatever. Like, they're just words. There's no credibility in that.
No, the
The
story means so
credibility is in
much
the story.
more.
Now, of course she's got to live through, like, I talk about being congruent. Like, she has to truly believe that. She can't tell a story like that and then
Oh no,
not follow through on
of
it, right?
course,
But
yeah.
yeah.
Is that story in your book?
No, it's not in my book because it was in a previous book.
Ah, okay, but yeah, I didn't think I'd read that story, but
No,
it's a
no.
really good one for sure.
Yeah, and she, I still catch up with Anne, and like she's moved companies 3 times, so she actually no longer even connects it to a company value, she connects it to
Her
her
value.
value. And the last time I caught up with her, she told me that sadly her dad had passed away recently, and she did the eulogy and shared that story.
Of course she
So
did. That's wonderful. That's full circle. Wow, that's really great. Thank you for sharing that. So for entrepreneurs and small business owners listening today, where's the easiest place for them to start using storytelling in their communications?
Yeah, so I would say especially, well, not especially, but for anyone, small business entrepreneurs, what are the values you want to communicate? Now, you might not have stated values like large companies always do, but it was like, what do you want to be known for? And be clear on that. And like, do you want to be known for integrity? Do you want to be known for innovation? Do you want to be known for like exceptional customer service? Do you want to be known as a trusted partner? Whatever it is you want to be known for, be clear on that. Go through that process of saying, well, what does that? So I keep saying, oh, we're a trusted partner, but what does that really mean? Like, so once you're clear on that really mean, and then find stories to share about them. And yes, share your work, right? So the professional stories, absolutely have some of them. But your personal stories will be more powerful. And your personal stories of when you didn't live that value can actually be super powerful. Like when I did not live that value, and the regret I have. And people will sense the regret when you share the story. So it's really clear. I work with an investment company in Vietnam, and I work with their entire leadership team. The CEO, CEO was an American guy, and he, part of them is they get investors in the room and they pitch to, for them to invest money in them. And he said, we used to get up there with our PowerPoints and talk
Oh
about
my
the
God.
numbers and this is the return and blah, blah, blah. And he goes, it was even boring to me, right? And so I work with them. I actually work with them quite a while, and they completely flipped it to story. So they would have a handful of their executive team, and they would share stories around their their company values, but he would share a story and he called it my biggest mistake. And he'd shared it, and it was a professional story, it was about an investment, but he shared the story about all the mistakes they made with this investment, just mistake after mistake after mistake. And he said, initially, I thought to myself, why would I share that story? Because they're going to think I'm an idiot and never invest with us. He said the complete opposite happened. He goes, because by sharing that story of acknowledging I've made mistakes, they felt they could trust me. And he goes, there was also an element that you've learned those mistakes, and that you made mistakes with other people's money, not our money. And he said it just completely changed things. And so now their presentation is just a collection of stories.
And it was showing his vulnerability and how he grew from that, really, because he's sharing it as a mistake that he made. So,
Yeah, absolutely. And I also think too, if you're a small business, you're pretty close to all these stories. And so even if it is a work, a professional story, it could be, even someone in your team that's done something, just even adding something like, I was really proud of what we did on that day, or to this day, I am so gutted that we weren't able to achieve what we initially said we would. Can you see just
Of
adding
course.
one little thing about how you felt can make it feel now like more of a story as opposed to a case study?
It's a lesson, it's oftentimes, and it's a vulnerable story, and it's a from the heart. It's from the heart. And that's what makes a huge difference, right? So yeah, I
Absolutely.
totally see that. And I deal in relationships. And so I really resonate with what you said about when you start teaching people the storytelling skill and how you start to ask them those questions to bring it out of them, whatever. I think I do the same thing when I'm working with somebody on their LinkedIn profile or something that they have to do, and I'm trying to make them bring out what really matters to them and in their own voice, show how they solve their clients' problems and things like that. Because it's not about you, it's about them and what you do for them. And for some people, they have to really twist it around and hadn't thought about it that way. So yeah, it's fun. It's fun when you can get into somebody's psyche a little bit and help them draw out what you're trying to get them to do. It's cool. All right.
What I love too is helping them draw out those personal stories that they would
Absolutely.
never think of sharing. I was speaking to a guy the other day, and he sells innovation. Like, he's all around process improvement. He goes into companies, like, he's passionate about process improvement. And he shared a story, like, when he was a 5-year-old little kid. And when it he I think he grew up in Canada, and it'd snow, and he knew that once water started flowing through the snow, it would melt faster, and he really wanted the snow to melt. So he'd go and dig a little trench for the snow. And I'm going, that little story about him being 5 years old doing that, what it shows that process improvement,
That's in him.
it's in him. It's in him. But most people would go, oh, well, that's like, I'm not telling a story of when I was five,
But it's in his
and
DNA,
it's in
right?
his DNA.
That's amazing. Okay, I love it. Last question. If someone listening wanted to improve their own story intelligence starting today, what's one simple step they could take?
Buy the book.
Okay, fair enough.
That's
And
so.
where can
No,
they buy it?
look,
It's
you
a
can buy
good
it from.
read. I encourage you to.
I genuinely, this is like 20 years of my
I
life in
know.
this book. It's why, not only why storytelling, but it's how. I'm teaching a repeatable framework, and I'm giving lots of, there's so many different
So many
examples in
examples.
there,
There
like,
are.
for $20, I think it's going to be. And yet, look, you can get it online, Amazon, all the usual places.
Is it on your website too?
It is on my website, but it's got a,
A link to the. Okay.
GabrielleDolan.com.
And is
You've got
that.
to, it's just got to go through an extra links. But yeah, if you
Oh,
just
okay. So it's
search.
on Amazon too. Okay.
Yeah, it's absolutely on Amazon.
Well, I do encourage people to buy it because actually I really enjoyed it and I will read it again when I can highlight stuff because I just, skimmed through it, I do admit, but I love the stories. That's what stopped me every time, right? It was a story.
And I
So
do. I'm not a big book reader. I in fact, there's very few business books I have got through because I think most of them, two thirds of them, are fluff. But so I write the book where you don't have to read it end to end. You can
no.
just dip in, dip out,
Yeah.
and go, oh, I need to give a presentation next week. And okay, just go read a few stories in the presentation book and read the chapter on AI to help you find stories, or
Yeah.
so that you can dip in and out of it. So it's definitely not a got to start and finish it
Yeah,
book.
finish it all. Well, thank you. Thank you again for sharing your insights and reminding us that while technology continues to evolve, authentic human connection is still at the heart of meaningful communication. I think your work highlights something that fits perfectly with this show, that relationships grow stronger when we communicate honestly and share the experiences that shape who we are. So I'm so glad that you joined me today. And or maybe this will help people think more intentionally about the stories that they use in business and in life, because it's really a broad spectrum, and we just have to dig in and say, so what does that remind me of? What was I thinking at the time? Or and so on, as you did so clearly with the examples that you gave. So thanks, Gabrielle. Oh, and one more thing, you have a podcast.
I do have a podcast, so
Yeah.
yes, if you like listening to podcasts, which clearly you do because you're
Yeah.
listening to this one, I do have a podcast. It's called Keeping It Real with Jack and Ral. I'm the Ral bit of that,
Yeah.
and we release an episode every Monday, and it's a sort of career advice bit of short 25, 30 minute, do a different topic every Monday.
And I bet it has a good sense of humor.
Yes, there's lots of laughs, lots of stories.
I'll start
There's
to put it on my list.
fair bit of swearing in it as
Oh,
well. So
really? Okay. Oh.
if you don't, well, not too
No,
bad, but
I know, but it.
my mum listens to it.
Okay.
So if and we used to get in trouble for saying crap when we were growing up. So if my mum can listen to it and not be overly
Offended.
offended,
Yeah.
then
Okay. Well, it's like
it's
I listened to Julia Louis-Dreyfus's podcast called,
oh yeah.
and she
Wiser
swears
than
like a
me. Oh
trooper
my
in that.
God, I love her. I
Yeah.
love her. Love
And
her.
her
Love
mother
her.
comes on, her 90 some
Yes.
odd year mother
Yeah,
comes on.
yeah.
And there's
Yeah,
nothing.
yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. Anyway, well,
Yeah.
thank you for again for being here and for your wisdom and your knowledge. And remember, to my audience, I hope you enjoyed what you heard. If you do, please leave a review. We always appreciate it. And remember to stay connected and be remembered. Thanks for joining us. If today's show inspired you to make a new connection, why not start with me? Head over to LinkedIn and connect with me. Be sure to let me know you are a podcast listener, because I select one listener each month who connects with me on LinkedIn for a complimentary profile audit. And I love to meet new people, so I hope you take me up on it. Don't forget to stay connected and be remembered.